Welcome back to the Only Nets Fans You Know podcast. I'm Peter. I'm joined by fellow Nets fan and, of course, one of my best friends in the whole wide world, Charlie.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. What's going on, Peter?
What's going on, everybody? I'm so happy to finally be back. I had my own shit I had to take care of. And, you know, it feels good to finally be joining you guys again. And let's get into some basketball. What's the name of this episode? What's the working title?
The name of this title on this episode is Staying Scary.
I love it. I love it. So right now, we are back. And since we've been gone a little bit, some good things have been going on.
Some good basketball being played.
The Nets are at 26-13. And, man, we got a lot to talk about.
All systems go. That's pretty much what it is, it seems like.
Well, what are some updates?
The biggest and most important one, in my opinion, is that Kevin Durant, who was promised back at least 2 weeks ago, is still not coming back, even after the All-Star break. We're about two games post-All-Star break, and they said KD is going to go for another MRI again next week, more scans, so we'll see next week how it goes. And then after that, they still have to ramp him back up into basketball shape. So I told you, I honestly think it's going to be late March at best. Like mid-April is probably, I feel like, where it's going to end up.
I feel like we've been talking about this shit, especially, I've been talking about this a lot. Hamstrings never, ever, ever, ever take the, you know, quote-unquote, two games, or the little, you know, a little rest. Hamstrings are something that are going to linger. And I think the Nets are actually doing a great thing here by letting him rest. Because let's face it, man, are you going to be upset when he comes back and then he gets hurt 2 days later, two games later, and then we don't have him in the postseason? This is all needed.
Yeah, man, this is, it's unfortunately, and fortunately, it's like we haven't really needed him, right?
Yeah, we're going crazy.
It's unfortunate because he needs time to get back into shape and, like, you know, he has to build some more chemistry with the team, but also fortunate that, like, okay, we also have other studs that are just taking over right now and winning us games no matter who's on the floor, it seems like.
No, wait, we got to trade Kyrie.
Also,
we got to trade Kyrie, though.
Yeah, we still got to trade Kyrie, man. We're going to get J.J. Redick for him and maybe Lonzo Ball or...
How many people are eating shit?
Yeah, dude, Kyrie has been... Him and Harden have been playing at MVP levels, in my opinion. I know Embiid in Philly, who he's just got hurt, by the way, for a couple of weeks. They said that'll be out at least 2 weeks, so that could be big for us going the long term. But, you know, to me, Kyrie and Harden have just been, like, otherworldly. I mean, like, these guys have taken over games. Like, one game, it could be Harden just going off and going out of his mind. The next game, it could be Kyrie just, like, doing the artistry that he does. And some games, when you'll see them, when we blow teams out, they're both going off. And it's just like you can't stop them. There's too many things going on in this offense.
I don't know. I feel like everyone's just kind of like picking up their roles and just like running with it. Like, I don't know what happened from like that Detroit game, or I don't even know, you know, if you want to say at that point, but this, or the, you know, West Coast trip, whatever it was, whatever you want to call it. Like, this team is just going off, and it's kind of, like, unseen in franchise history.
I know, man.
It's not. We were talking about this before. This probably is the best Nets team of all time. This is, I gotta say, they're probably better than the finals teams.
It was a different NBA, too, man. Different NBA. LeBron James...
Nets ran fast.
Well, let's be real. Too. LeBron James was not in the league back then. But you had guys like Shaq at the top of his game, Tim Duncan.
You got a guy named Kobe.
Yeah, that's just saying. I've heard of him. So that being said, like going further into the season, like, you know, we had guys like TLC who were also hurt, which is not that, in my opinion, not that big of a loss.
You know, some people would say it's a big loss. Some people would say not a big loss. You could, you know, talk about that. But I feel like it's kind of, what's the saying? The rich get richer?
Yeah.
Blake Griffin
came.
What?
Blake Griffin. You know, imagine saying the name. Imagine this team, like, back in 2015 with the names on the roster.
I saw that, too. They shared a tweet of, like, our roster and saying, if you would believe that James Harden, Kyrie, KD, and Blake Griffin
and Jeff
would
Green.
Be on this team.
And Jeff Green.
Sure, Jeff Green. would be on this team you know, a couple years later.
Correlating the Blake Griffin, Jeff Green thing, I initially thought, like, man, we signed Blake Griffin because I think Jeff Green is actually hurt. But then not only to realize KD is the one who's continually hurt. So I was like, Blake Griffin is like a replacement for one of them, in my opinion. But good to see Jeff Green back. Anyway, getting to the Blake Griffin thing. The guy is definitely not the same player he once was, so they say. The guy, you know, he's also not known as a defensive stalwart, as they say. However, I think, you know, this season was kind of a trap. Because, you know, let's be real. What did Detroit have that we don't? You know, like Detroit had no one. Blake Griffin was the main guy. In our offense, I think what he's going to do, like they said, they're going to play him at the five, small ball five, which is perfect role for him because he's going to be able to keep up with most centers on defense, speed-wise. But you'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I just think that it's, like I said before, the rich getting richer. Just like this team is so good at this point that has there ever been a time in franchise history that the Nets have been first in line for the buyout market?
Never.
Probably not. Never. And now to get a guy like Blake Griffin, throw away the numbers. I'm not even looking at his numbers because the numbers he's going to put up with us is going to be similar to what Dwight did last year. That is the exact role that he should be looking at. He should be looking at that tape. Maybe not getting, you know, all the blocks and lobs per se, but that role of just coming in, putting in a couple of minutes and carving in that role.
Plus, he can
He's
hit a three.
He's gonna be so good.
He can hit the three too. That's like another.
That's
big
what
thing.
I'm saying. I don't mean like the actual like physicals of Blake Griffin of Dwight Howard, but I just mean carving in your small role and just filling that out.
You know what? I mean, this is like my Nets dream scenario here. It's not going to be on this scale, but I see Blake Griffin like a high pick and roll player, perfect on high screen for James Harden. James Harden crashes. Blake Griffin's wide open at like a mid-range shot or a three-pointer. I mean,
I was gonna say even that's a great point. On the Twitter, I was saying, imagine this: Blake Griffin goes to set the pick, and who's on the perimeter? Joe Harris, KD,
Blake Griffin.
But he's setting the pick.
Well, after he sets the pick, after he
rolls,
he has the option to roll or flare out to the wing. I mean, like the. It just makes it makes our offense more potent than it already is. It gives James Harden more options. That it's James Harden's world right now. He runs the offense. Let's be real. Kyrie, when he's not on the floor, runs the offense. Right now, we'll see how that goes once KD comes back. But right now, James Harden is our maestro. He's making the orchestra of the Brooklyn Nets, and he's coming out with one of these great, you know, pieces that all these Mozart, Beethoven.
He's putting up a career year.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely.
You can compare him to
crazy.
Beethoven. I think he's not deaf or blind or any of that.
Yeah,
stuff.
You love that art thing with him.
I gotta set the mood for the listeners.
I was gonna say about James Harden, he's having that outer-worldly year. It's just like, just the amount of firepower this team could put out is just, it's just crazy. Any given day, we've talked about it before, they could put up 30, 40 a night. And you know what? The most important thing about James Harden? The chemistry.
Definitely.
He has a glue guy feel to a guy who's putting out superstar output.
Didn't you say before that he was averaging more points per game or something? And
he was coming into the game today, I think he was averaging about a point or two more than he was with Houston.
The game today was
which
Detroit,
impressive.
By the way.
Was impressive.
Dude, it looked like he was having a slow game today in Detroit, and then he just, like, the fourth quarter, what did they say, scored the final 12 or something like that points? Crazy. Guy just takes over the game, and he was not even taking, he didn't hit any threes today, mind you. He was 0-for-6 from three against Detroit. Sloppy game all around, yet he still put up over 20 points, had another triple-double, and scored the final points, of like, the final, like, 10-plus points for the Nets today. So, I mean, the dude is, He's scary. That's scary hours. He's scary.
I was going to say, it's looking pretty scary out here. So I kind of wanted to use this episode as a way to kind of go over the year. Like,
so far.
Pick out picks of you, of course, year so far. And just so many, like, great things going on with this franchise that I don't think everybody is savoring it as much as we should.
Oh, I'm savoring it. I'm savoring it like hometown barbecue.
Hometown barbecue. So I was going to say, I think that we should pick out, okay, this doesn't have to be, I don't want to say the biggest win, you know, or some bullshit like that. Give me two games that were your favorite game, that you felt there was some like specialness about it, quote unquote. Just two games that stood out to you.
No bullshit? No bullshit at all?
No bullshit at all.
Alright. First one is the Pistons loss. It's not my it's not the best game by any means, and it's definitely not my favorite game.
That's the common answer, I would say.
But it's the most important game of the year, in my opinion. This game, this loss, lit a fucking fire under the Nets' ass. I mean, completely flipped them around. Like, the Nets were a well-done burger on one side, and then a completely raw burger on the other. And then that other side has to cook. That game got that burger on the other side cooking, man. It basically... dude, I can't, like, that whole interaction with Harden and Jordan and DeAndre. Since then, the Nets defense went to 10th ranked defense. In February, they lost like four games in February. They won 9 of 11 games, I believe. Or 12, you know. And then they're still, after the All-Star break, nice win against the Celtics. And then another win against Detroit. Not the best game by all means, sloppy. But still came away with a victory. Then, after that, it was actually way before the Pistons loss. I really liked this win. It was the win against the Bucks. We won 125-123 did it go to overtime? I went to a single overtime, I believe. Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm. And this was a game where we didn't have Kyrie because he was on a sabbatical.
That time.
This was one of the first... This was the second game after Harden came to the Nets. First, they played the Magic and they won. And then this was like a Monday night game, I think, against the Bucks, or Tuesday, one of those games. And it was a nationally televised game. Kevin Durant and James Harden basically just took over that game. And it was to me, it was a very important measuring stick win. Now that, like, we had Harden on the team, it kind of told us everything we need to know as Nets fans. Like, we got a fucking stud. Like, we got... this guy who's MVP, and he can completely help this team win. He creates, and definitely his defense is something that people don't talk about as much. He is very crafty on defense. So what are your two favorite games, or important, or best?
I was going to say, adding on to what you were saying, just the hype around getting Harden. That was like mind-blowing at the time. After not getting him, you know, there's a trade promise. Are these guys going out? Are we keeping LeVert? Are we losing LeVert? Dinwiddie gets hurt. Just all that just surmised. It just came all together at that moment. I feel like that's a very underrated game. Anyway, for my two biggest games, first game, February 16th against the Suns. They won 128-124. If you guys remember, that was that huge comeback game that the Nets had to go on a 12-0 run to win the game. Just West Coast trip obviously solidified that the Nets were, you know, the team in the East, and possibly, you know, the team that might be wearing the crown at the end of the year. And that game was just flat out amazing, where Harden put out 38. I don't know if this second game is kind of cheating, this might be considered a bullshit game, but whatever. February 18th, the next game against the Lakers, they won 109-98. There was no KD. There was no AD. But the Nets still won in Los Angeles as part of that Western road trip. And, man, that was probably... if I look back at this season, no matter what happens, these two games kind of, like, do it for me. This is what I'm totally, like, thinking about when I think about this season at this point.
I want to add and say that, you know, when it seems like the pressure is the highest, and when, you know, stakes are at the highest, and when it matters most, his team pulls through. No matter if, like, you know, they get a 6-point run and then they give up a 6-point run. It seems like this team has that extra punch at the end of games. Just has that extra gear to turn it on, where they just put up 9 straight points and they create 3 turnovers and they lock down on D, and there's, like, you see it there. And it's something, as a Nets fan, I've rarely ever seen.
they became a team. I think that Western road trip, following your Detroit game that you mentioned, I feel like that little, I don't know, week or so, 2 weeks, that created such a fucking chemistry, such a fucking, I don't know, team bonding, whatever the fuck you want to call it. But that really fucking ramped up this team. And like you said, put a fire underneath their ass.
I believe the saying is the straw that broke the camel's back.
They haven't looked back since.
Agreed. So next I want to do a little new segment we kind of came up with. I don't know if it's going to stick or not, but we'll see.
For this episode,
we'll see. I call it Stock Up, Stock Down. It's basically a rundown of what Nets players' stock is up and what Nets players' stock is down.
Wow, so I don't think they could have figured that one out.
Well, it's we'll see. Good. I mean, whoever listens to us can't be very smart. So,
fair point.
Basically, I'll rattle off a few guys. I'll start with Bruce Brown. Bruce Brown had a. He was skyrocketing. His value was peaked.
Well, he started off the year on the bench, right?
He was a zero stock. He didn't have any sample size.
He wanted to kill Steve Nash.
So got him in games immediately. His stock rose. And right before the All-Star break, he was putting up over like 20 points a few games. Stock was as high as it ever had been. Since then, it came down a little bit. I'm not going to say it's completely crashed, but, you know, I would say it's a plus 10 right now.
I'm actually going to give him a little more leeway because, you know what, his defense was needed during those times. Even now, I still think that he should give him a little more leeway, but that's just me.
I know, but...
You know my stock up guy already.
I will say last thing with Bruce Brown. The last two games, he's looked really bad. He hasn't shot very well, and it seems like people are picking up his cuts a little more. Now, you know, that's because they're adjusting, but again... Other guys, like the guy you're about to mention, Stock, who is up, have been thriving because of Bruce Brown's, all the notice he's getting.
I was going to say, talking about all the notice that he was getting, we had all these articles about the Nets are creating a position, you know, a guard who sets a pick, a guard who's playing like a center. I just thought, you know, a little interesting, and I'm going to give this guy a little bit more leeway.
Definitely.
But, of course, for my stock up, it's got to be my guy, Mr. Larry. Mr. Larry. That's what I want to call Mr. Larry.
That's not what I got.
I was on the Shamit train for the beginning of the fucking year, and you know what? Fuck everybody who was shitting on me for the beginning of the year. Oh, he can't hit a three. Now, fuck all of you. Fuck all of you guys.
He's shooting, like, I think in February, he shot over 40% from three, and...
What did he do today? He was pretty good.
He had like five straight threes, I think.
You know, just saying.
No, he definitely is. His stock is way, way up. I think he...
I'm buying a Shamit jersey.
No, come on.
Just saying. I got a Shamit train on the back. Shamit train. We're going to make it... if this podcast grows up just a little bit, I'll do it. I swear to God.
He was 3-for-3 tonight from three and 5-of-6 shooting overall, 15 points.
Okay, I'm going to say something right now that's crazy, and I hope my girlfriend's not listening. Charlie, you may want to look at me when I say this.
No, I don't want to.
If the Nets win the NBA Finals and Shamit wins MVP, I will get a Larry Shamit tattoo.
It's not Larry. It's Landry. You keep calling him
Why am I calling him Larry? Oh, my God.
I like Larry.
It's killing me.
I like
Mr. Larry
Shamit.
I'm going to call him Mr. Larry from now on. I will get a Larry Shamit tattoo.
It has to say Larry Shamit.
Why wouldn't you correct me, you piece of shit?
I said it. I said Larry Shamit. You didn't hear me before.
That's what I was saying.
Man.
Mr. Larry Shamit. I'm going to get a Larry Shamit tattoo.
I'm going to do one more stock up, stock down net.
Go ahead. Go for it.
Jeff Green.
Go ahead. Let's hear it.
My Jeff Green stock is actually higher than it's ever been because I just think he's a great guy.
Oh, my God, that was disgusting.
So, Jeff Green has been the guy who's been, like, the glue. I think he's the perfect player for our system, like, what we need. And, honestly, like, he has never been higher for me because he had this shoulder injury, and he's fighting back. He plays when he can. His shot looked broken in that one game. And then all of a sudden he starts hitting his threes again like he didn't happen. So the guy is a grinder, and it's nice to have this guy on our team. Stock up, stock way up for Jeff Green.
Wait, would he be the straw that serves the drink?
To me, he's the second biggest roster move the Nets have made behind the James Harden
trade. That was a Reggie Jackson joking.
I know, we're not talking about baseball, though. The straw that stirs the drink. I don't think he stirs the drink that much, because I don't think he creates that much drama, which is perfect.
That was a joke.
But, like I said, he's the second biggest move that Marks has made this season for the Nets, in my opinion. I know that, you know, you think it's the move for Larry.
Larry Shannon.
But, you know, Jeff Green, man, he's honestly, what can you say? He's perfect for that small ball five role. I mean, he's not going to be able to stop guys like Embiid. But, dude, he hits his three-pointers, even when his shoulder's busted, and makes his free throws, drives, dunks, and passes. Perfect player for us. Well done again, Sean Marks.
And my deal, as you said before, I won't spend too much time on it, because we already talked about Mr. Landry Shamet, who I'm going to get a tattoo of when he becomes NBA Finals MVP this year.
Larry Shamet.
To get him, a guy who's a 40% free throw shooter and above average defender, in a deal like that, pretty much is giving up a first rounder and a guy who, you know, sorry Musa, but isn't really turning into anything and even got cut by Detroit. I think that's a steal. That's just me.
He definitely, dude, he turned it around so much this year. I mean, I was so...
Yeah, you were shitting on him.
I was shitting on him
but
so
I was
much.
On the fucking train.
I'm happy to be wrong in this case.
Let's go.
I definitely am happy to be wrong.
Landry, Larry, Shamet, train. Let's fucking go.
I know, man. It's like, I
fuck you.
You know who's also been good, in my opinion? Tyler Johnson, too.
What a segue.
Yeah, I know. He's been good. Mm-mm. He's another shooter that we picked up that, you know, was hitting at a high percentage and... Dude, fills a perfect role for us. Hit a three when open three when the ball's given to him, and they do it. They hit open threes. Although Shamet, I will say, is really good at that turnaround three shot where he comes off a screen and just takes a running three-pointer.
Both of them are really good with shooting the three. And if you remember, way back when, he was my pick, TJ, about a player that I would want to bring on last year's bubble team and bring it over here to this team this year. He's a microwave, man. Every team needs him. Every championship team seems to have that guy that can come off the bench, come in for 10, 15 minutes, and put up like two or three threes at a big time in the game. He might be that guy.
I know, and I hope he doesn't lose a lot of time when Blake Griffin comes back. When they said that he might be out till next week or the following week.
He's a guard, though, TJ. He's not going to, you know, you're not going to see, imagine Blake Griffin at point guard or shooting guard.
He's a good passer, man.
He is, but I just don't think that's going to happen.
I still think it's, you know, pecking order is going to, you know, crack the lineup.
Listen, right? You might be right.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it.
And just position-wise,
yeah.
I'm just eh.
I feel like this team has a lot of options, and that's like, you know, people said we gutted this roster and gave up so much depth, but I mean, I see some depth here. I don't know about you. I see a lot of depth.
Well, you know what happened? We lost all the depth in the move to get James, and now we're regaining it back little by little through development. Guys getting, you know, off the bench, off the side and whatnot.
And a guy named Nick Claxton. Can't forget about
him. And guys getting healthy.
A guy named Nick Claxton has been a big part of that as well. These guys
love Action Claxton.
That, you know, that honestly, probably one of my favorite moments of the season was him, like, his first big hammer dunk of the season in the first game he came back and where he got fined for it. But I think as a favorite moment of the season for me, the Kyrie Harden hugs. I think just the team hugs in general. There was a hug picture of Kyrie and DeAndre today after the game.
Jesus Christ.
I like the hugging. I like the love this team shares for each other. Considering this team is supposed to have like a bunch of cancers in the locker room.
I like that part. I like that point that you made there.
Yeah, so I mean all the hugs, all the negative energy that the media puts out towards us, if this is going to work. Yeah, I mean the team looks like they really like each other, man. They've been, it's so funny, man. The win to the Celtics the other day was so nice because of that. I don't know. It's just I feel like everyone was shitting us, particularly salty-ass Celtics fans. They're one of the saltiest fan bases, by the way.
Ooh, one of, spicy.
I think Knicks are pretty salty.
Fuck them.
I think Sixers are salty, but they're also knowledgeable fans. At least they don't spit out random bullshit. They actually know their game and stuff, whereas the Celtics and Knicks fans just spit out whatever the media tells them to spit out. Anyway, yeah, what would your favorite moment be, though?
Oh, man, it's going to be tough and it's kind of sad, but I'm going to say the first game of having the big three together. We didn't win, and I don't want to talk about the game because it was a fucking depressing-ass game. A lot of screaming at the TV. We actually watched the game together. A lot of screaming, a lot of jumping up and down. For me, a lot of running in and out of the room, screaming that I didn't want to watch it no more, and all that shit. But just the hype coming into the game, and like the feeling of like, you know, this is this fucking like LeBron in Miami? Is this how it felt when KD went to the Warriors, and like for these fans? Like, is this our moment for that? You know what I mean? That's a lot. That's what I'm thinking. It meant a lot. That was my favorite moment.
What it feels like, definitely. That's a good point. And I just want to... Oh, what is that sound? You hear that sound? Oh, what is that, Pete? Woo-woo-woo! It was a jersey alert.
Jesus Christ. I hate it, but I love it at the same time.
Oh, man. I just threw that.
You
like that monkey wrench I threw in there. Anyway, earned jerseys are out. Wore me the other day.
They've leaked for a while. We've seen them.
They've been out.
Charlie wanted to wait for them to come out officially, and they have. And my answer of, you know, well, first of all, before I give you an answer, I think I'm missing a part of a certain player that you'd like to highlight.
So the rating system, as we usually have, is a old school Nets player who's pretty obscure. But this one's not that obscure, but I think it's time to give this guy some time back in the spotlight. Our boy Andre Blatch.
Shout out to you, Andre.
He was a pretty good player for us when the Nets first moved to Brooklyn. Great. He was a sixth man, you could say, for us. He was definitely the guy off the bench that really, he could hit a three, score anywhere. But he was just a ridiculous person, as usual. He's a goon, as they say.
Definitely, man. The Nets wound up getting him because the Wizards bought him out. Guy had a lot of talent. Kind of ran into a couple, you know, locker room problems. I'll leave that over there. If you remember with Jason Kidd, he actually got suspended for a week or so, and no one knew what was going on. What happened was Andre Blatch actually came to the meeting drunk, came to the practice drunk, supposedly inside sources say. So a very colorful history of a great player that, you know, could have panned out, you know, story could have ended a little bit better for him. Anyway. What's your take?
I got 3.5 Andre Blatches out of 5. I really like this jersey. Don't get me wrong. I like the tie-dye jersey better this year. But the gray with the pattern on that jersey is super nice. Kind of looks really nice with the court. I think it looks amazing with the court. The colors are there. My only thing I don't like is the Nets on the front. It looks kind of flat. There's no, like... It looks uniform and neat, but I don't know. I just feel like they could have done a little more piping or something around, like another black trim around, not just leave it base white. I don't know. That's the only bad thing I like about it. I love the subway car circle with the number. Love that. Color is great, but yeah, definitely one of the better jerseys they put out this year. Much better than the Basquiat trash bag.
Shots fired. I was going to say the lettering in front is actually, Charlie mentioned before, about the MTA, the Brooklyn subway system over here. I guess you could say the New York City, you know, transit system. I love the jersey. I don't like the pattern. I don't like the pattern on the front, like the kind of gray and black. I would have liked the jersey if it was plain black, subway tile side, you know, the jersey number the same way with the, you know, train car circle around it. That looks so amazing to me. I want to buy that jersey. Might be a Larry Shamet jersey, not sure, but I'm definitely going to get that jersey. Probably Blake. I think I might have to get a Blake jersey, man, even if he doesn't resign with us.
Another cool thing
I want to follow up with that. I have a theory about this jersey. Uh-oh. I think this jersey might have been used for something else, or maybe the court was mocked up for this jersey, because the subway tile that goes along... The jersey itself is used on the court by one, I think it's one of the end lines or someone on the court.
Put your tinfoil hat on, I guess, right?
That matches perfectly.
One cool fact I like about this jersey is that if you actually go close to this jersey and take a smell of it, it actually smells like the elevator on the Pacific Street subway entrance to the NR&D train.
Like fresh urine.
It smells like doo-doo. Straight doo-doo urine. And urine. It smells horrible.
I think urine, man.
Anyway, before we get to our wrap up, you know, getting back to what you were saying about how all these, it's felt so long since, like, buyout guys want to come to the Nets. So a couple of guys that are possibly parting ways with their teams. They have they basically sitting on the sidelines, not being with their teams. Is you got LaMarcus Aldridge with the from the Spurs, Andre Drummond, which we all know about from Pistons. I'm sorry, the Cavaliers.
Used to be Detroit.
It used to be Detroit. That's right. PJ Tucker with the Rockets. Now, I do as far as fit wise, I think PJ Tucker is the most obvious fit for this Nets team right now. It brings the defense. However, I actually think LaMarcus Aldridge would actually be perfect for this team. And here's my reason why. He is the perfect NBA center in this current NBA. He can shoot, mid-range shooter, rebound. Again, his defense isn't like what you want it to be. He's a little slower. He's older. But again, with the offense perspective, he fits this team perfectly as well. I think he's a better Blake Griffin right now. But we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen.
He's a Spurs guy, man. He's a Spurs guy. Spurs guys seem to do pretty much, you know, pretty well with this team, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he would be a nice pickup, and I'm going to make an argument with you that Drummond would be the best pickup right now. Question. What happens if Claxton gets hurt? What if DJ gets hurt? What if one of those two guys get hurt? Do you trust Blake to play center for an extended period of time, 30 minutes a night with his knees that supposedly he can't dunk on, which was proven wrong from they put up some video on YouTube or online, whatever. I don't know if I trust his legs for 30 minutes a night, 40 minutes a night in a playoff series. Drummond would be the perfect backup for us right now.
I agree, but also my redaction to you on that is...
Redaction or reaction?
Redaction. I don't want to redact your statement.
Redact means you got to take my statement away.
Completely.
Because then it wasn't here.
Didn't exist.
Fucking idiot.
I think Jeff Green can actually fill that role perfectly.
He's hurt, though.
Is he?
He still
looked pretty good tonight.
I mean, you know, do you trust... Depends, you know what?
We don't know the health of KD either, but I actually think he actually can play five as well. So, and... You're right, Nick Claxton, DeAndre get hurt. We really don't have other big insurance right now. Reggie Perry would be our, basically our,
You want that in the NBA Finals?
But that's why I think Aldridge, personally, my opinion would be better. But again, your statement didn't happen, so I'm going to assume.
I don't think you're wrong with the Aldridge. I think he would be my next pick with that. PJ Tucker, I love PJ Tucker. I don't like the contract. I don't know if he's going to be bought out. If he's bought out, he could definitely have a fit on this team. It'd be a great fit. But I need some big insurance because I don't trust these guys staying healthy.
He really didn't look too good either when he did play, honestly. I don't want to use a W word, which is washed, because that's what they throw at Blake Griffin. But he did not look like he was either playing with full intensity or just, didn't seem like he had a step above everyone else. But, it remains to be seen. This definitely isn't the last of the moves Marks makes for us this year. I believe one of these guys will end up in a Nets uniform when all said and done. You want to get into our wrap-up, Pete?
Yeah, definitely. So for our wrap-up, as you mentioned, well, we've talked about before, the Nets have the easiest schedule in the second half, and we'll be looking at that very closely because you have the 76ers, who had one of the easiest schedules in the first half. So there's a very, very good chance we could see the Nets overtake the 76ers, depending on who's healthy, who's not healthy. You mentioned before, Embiid is hurt. KD's still getting over the hamstring. It's going to be a very, very interesting second half. We got some upcoming games. What do we got our games? Coming up after the New York Bricks on Monday?
Oh, boy. I can't wait for that game. I say every game's a trap game, but I actually think the Monday game is going to be a letdown.
I agree.
I hate... I like setting myself up for disappointment, so when I do, the Nets do end up actually beating the Knicks facing.
It's even better.
Yeah. I am going to talk so much shit again, though. It's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome.
I can't wait. But Wednesday, we got the Pacers. Caris LeVert, hopefully we'll see back, who is playing tonight.
Let's go.
You love to see our boy Caris back in action. They said he probably wasn't going to play the rest of the year, and we're in March now, and the trade happened in January, right? So.
Yeah, happy he's alive. There's a chance that could have been a lot worse. Just happy to see him thriving out there, and I hope he does well.
That trade saved his life, possibly. You never know. And then rounding it off, end of the week, we got Friday against the Magic and Tyler Vucevic, who... Nets killer Tyler Vucevic.
Tyler Vucevic, who's that?
I don't know, whatever. Nikola Vucevic. I call him Tyler
Vucevic. Listen, I had Larry, you had Tyler today.
I call no I just want Tyler to, Vucevic. He looks like a Tyler.
We're fucked up, man.
Yeah.
We're rusty, guys. Fuck my life.
No, this is all planned. Don't let me.
Have a great day. Have a great night. Have a great commute. Thank you for sticking with us. We love you guys. Remember, follow us on the Instagram. Follow us on the Twitter. On Twitter, Only Nets Fan Pod. On Instagram, Only Nets Fans You Know. Later, everybody. We out.